we must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites the guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause.
Excuse me, I'm a Jew, and I just like to say that, you know, in our Bible it says that you're like animals.
Like a second. As me, Ken, ma che tu? Ma che ne lo vedi?
Goyim Adam, והגויים לא קרויים אדם.
לא קרויים?
לא קרויים אדם, לא קוראים להם אדם.
אוקיי, אז מה קוראים להם? אבל רגע, מה שאני לא מבין, זה כל הגויים הם
בהמות? בשביל לשרת את היהודים. כל הגויים שאתה רואה שיש בעולם, המיליארדים האלה, הם הכל רק בשביל שהיהודים יהיה להם איזה תועלת.
עכשיו, היות, אנחנו בגלות. אנחנו לא יודעים בדיוק. היות, ואנחנו בגלות. אז אוטומטי עדיין הם עוד לא משרתים אותנו לגמרי, רק חלקית.
כל אחד יהיה...
אוקיי,
כשבוא נבוא, אז כל אחד יהיה לו...
בינתיים המשיח לא כאן, אז אין שהם משרתים אותנו.
הם בונים לנו רכבים, דירות, בניינים.
הם
בונים את זה. למה? משרתים את היהודים.
אבל יש גם יהודים שעושים את
זה.
Well, I'll ask in English. Do you believe that the Gentiles, the Goyim, will one day become the slaves of the Jews?
It's part of the Torah.
Okay, fine, guys. In the eyes of Hashem, we all are created. In the eyes of God, we are all created, but as you know, as the Chumash, the Bible says, the Jews are the chosen nation, so you can't exactly consider that when there's testimony from Hashem that we are different. So it's not my opinion, it's Hashem's opinion. I just happen to follow Hashem.
ודאי שיהיה לי עדיפות גדולה הרבה יותר לעזור ליהודים מאשר לגויים.
למה?
למה? כי יהודי הוא אח שלי.
טוב, אני לא אותה, אבל אני אקח את המדויק, על כל יהודי אמור להיות 800 יותר עבדים.
אני רואה את עצמי כמיוחד יותר, אבל ודאי שבזכויות.
אוקיי, מה זה אומר מיוחד יותר? באיזה מובן? מישהו שלא מבין.
במובן הדתי.
אוקיי, שזה נותן לך מה?
אני חושב שיש לי יהוד גדול יותר. הייעוד שלי הוא חשוב יותר.
כשנהגו כמו בן אדם, אז נשאבים כאדם.
פשוט ליהודים יש דרך חיים שבורא עולם נתן לנו. הגויים אין לזה, אין פספסים.
Do you see Jews and non-Jews as the same? כאילו שווה ערך?
לא.
אוקיי, explain.
I see Jews as the chosen nation.
אוקיי.
They were chosen by Hashem.
Does it make Jews better?
Makes Jews different.
Okay.
Like, so, not all of our body parts are the same. They're all the same parts of the body, but there's the mind, there's the heart, there's the foot. They're not all the same. They're all part of the same body.
Do they deserve the same rights? Let's put it that way. Jews, non-Jews, anyone who lives here, let's say, does everyone deserve the same, treated the same? Let's put it that way.
I think not. I think that this is the nation of the Jews, that the Jews should have more rights than non-Jews.
Like, give me an example of a right that a Jew should have that a non-Jew shouldn't.
Right now, there's a right for Jews to come to Israel and to get your citizenship. Isn't for all non-Jews. Well, this is the land of the Jews. All the Jews can come and live here. I think that Jews should have more rights than non-Jews.
What does it mean to be a Jew? In Hebrew, the word Jew means Yehudi. Yehudi comes from the verb lehodot, yeah, to thank. Yehudi, lehodot, mode. You know how we start our services of God every morning? By the word mode'an. The first word In our observance is Modi. I'm thankful to you, Hashem. You know, the biggest thanks that we owe is by being Jews. When you get up in the morning and you find out, I am a Jew, you should give a nice dance before you go to work. Because you have no idea how lucky we are that we are Jews. Because the world is going crazy with jealousy about this. Because the world knows more than what we know, the meaning of being a Jew. Why do you think they hate us? Why? What have we done? We ask, what is wrong that they found in the Jews? They cannot go to a Jewish neighborhood and be scared. So, it is only logical and most natural to love the Jews. Jews should be beloved everywhere. You know, Jews should be beloved everywhere. Wherever you go to China, you know what should be? The Chinese should say, oh my God, this is a Jew. Let's bow. Of course, I sound presumptuous. I sound... That's not that. The point is that the nations, they know that. They know. They say it. I told you this a million times. But you see, the fact that they know they are not Jews does cause them all this hatred and all this resentment that they have towards us.
Unfortunately, the descendants of the enemies of our people that were enemies to our people from day first are still hating us in the commandment of their ancestors. The children of Esav that hates Yaakov, the children of Amalek that hates Yaakov, the children of all the ones that had that black bitterness instead of a soul, that black, dark, horrible, depressed, negative, and awful shadow as a poor replacement for a soul, still hating us, still jealous, still don't know what to do with our goodness. We're not being digested to their felonies and crimes. We're not melting into their hatred and to their false blames. We keep on producing goodness and beauty and shine out to the world, and they can't stand it.
You know, anti-Semites like to say that Jews control the world. Well, let me tell you a little secret. In many ways, they do. Because our influence is beyond any type of rational understanding. We are a minute percentage of the world. And yet the impact of Jews and Judaism on the world is incalculable.
Maybe you shouldn't tell anybody that I said this, but you know all those tropes about Jews controlling the world, or at least wanting to control the world? They're actually true.
Dear white people, dear Gentiles, you've got to stop. I like you. I don't hate you like the rest of the Jews. But you have to stop. You have to stop with hating Jews. You have to stop with the anti-Semitic comments. You have to stop telling everyone that we're all communists, that we all want to destroy the white race. I mean, yes, it's true. But you shouldn't be telling this to everyone. It makes my people angry. It makes my people do even worse things. Look what happened to Germany after Hitler took over. It was completely destroyed. Look what happened to John F. Kennedy. Look what happened to the Twin Towers. Every time you did...
But it's really remarkable that all these military campaigns were on the supply and run by Jews. That's what we call the host unit. It was all backstabbed.
וחתולים וכלבים וערלות ורגדים רותחת מבעבה שם שמים אותו שם הוא נהנה שרתו רגע זה רגע וזה לא בעצם, אה? כל הכנסיות כל הצלבים שלהם הצלב הגדול הזה על הארון בברזיל מתפוצץ לבסיסים לכל העולם וכולם יראו את זה כולם יראו את זה.
You know, they felt, you know, everybody blames the Jews for killing Christ, and then the Jews try to pass it off on the Romans. You know, I'm one of the few people that believes it was the blacks. don't care. Good. I hope the Jews did kill Christ. I'd do it again. I'd fucking do it again in a second. I hear his Birkenstocks clacking this way.
Doing my part. So you could sit in your parents' basement and cry about him.
Yeah.
And I'd do it again. Give me the spear.
Uh-oh.
I'll do it again.
You're going to piss off the weird hysterical nerds, dude.
Good. If Jesus was here on a cross, I'd spear him.
No, he's not going to... That'd be funny if he got banned.
No, I'm not gonna get
that's
an that.
Insane thing. No, no shot. Oh.
Give me the hammer and the spikes. Well, I'm putting it up there.
If someone can do it, it's Ethan. He'll find a way.
I'll do it again.
Okay.
I liked it the first time, and I'll do it again, Nick. I'm getting on a call with all my Jewish brothers and sisters.
There's 30 minutes left. I really want to make Dan proud. Let's.
You know what I'm planning this Christmas?
No mock execution. No.
Of Jesus Christ.
No.
Dedicated to Nick Fuentes.
Yours is a voice of criticism we don't often hear in the United States. Often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew?
Well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country people are criticizing Israel, then they are anti-Semitic. And the organization is strong and has a lot of money. And the ties between Israel and the American Jewish establishment are very strong, and they are strong in this country. As you know, they have power, which it's okay, they are talented people and they have power, money and media and other things. And their attitude is Israel, my country, right or wrong, the identification. And they are not ready to hear criticism, and it's very easy to blame people who criticize certain acts of the Israeli government as anti-Semitic, and to bring up the Holocaust and the suffering of the Jewish people, and that justify everything we do to the Palestinians.
I'll put into what looked like a great big bathroom, I guess, because they had these shower things at the top, and we were put onto benches. We were all stark naked, old and young. Of course, the sexes were separated, but we all had to sit in a row. And what happened eventually is that they rained from the shower heads. They rained soap and water on us. And the reason for that was that we had to be deloused. We were so full of lice our hair was cut. And they rained soap and water on us. And I do not remember if there were any towels. So when I hear about the shower heads and the Holocaust and all of that, I know exactly what it was. That was soap and water raining down on us to delouse us. That's what it was. And where the story came from that those were dangerous shower heads, I don't know. That must have come out of the Russian propaganda.
It doesn't
belong.
So it's like Steven Spielberg. Everybody in Schindler's List is waiting for the gas to come in.
And all it
lo and behold, all it was
is soap and water came raining down on us in this great big, we call it banya, which is a Russian word for a washroom.
Bathroom,
but it was a big one, a communal bathroom. It was huge, I would say. It was, the way I remember it, of course I was little, but the way I remember it, I would say it was at least 30 by 30. it must have been built for that purpose, to wash us down like dogs. The same for the cutting of hair. I mean, we were all shorn bald in order to stop the lice problem that we had. Everybody had lice in the war, you know. I mean, this was just common knowledge that everybody had lice. And then, of course, we had to be deloused and put into Germany.
So Jews cannot unique victim status.
No, they cannot. And when I hear the stories about them losing their hair, big deal. None of us had hair. So that was my take on it.
And how about the cattle cars?
Well, the cattle cars was pretty much the same story, because we considered ourselves lucky if we could ride in a cattle car, of course, because then we did not depend on horses. We did not have to walk on foot. Man, that was luxury, to ride a cattle car. And yes, they were crammed full of people, and yes,
I challenge your history again. There is absolutely no record that 6 million people were put in concentration camps. They only had 16 million to begin with.
Here's 10 newspapers where these Jews are pushing this 6 million figure between the years of 1915 and 1938. The first newspaper is The Sun of New York. New York, June the 6th, 1915. That is The Sun. It's the first page of the fifth section that I want. And there we go. The Sun, it's a bit ripped along there, it's all come off a bit. The fifth section is the front page. And the article is called Horrors Worse Than Kishinev, Charged Against Russia Today. And there's the big article. Takes up most of the page. So go in. Yeah. Go. Since the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the Jewish people have had no darker page in their history than that which the Russian government is writing today. 6 million Jews, one half of the Jewish people throughout the world, are being persecuted, hounded, humiliated, tortured, starved. Thousands of them have been slaughtered. Hundreds of thousands of Jews, old men, women and children, are being driven mercilessly from town to town. There it is, people. 6 million Jews. One half of the Jewish people throughout the world are being persecuted, hounded, humiliated, tortured and starved. As I go along here, support here as well. Dear brethren, have mercy on the 6 million Jews in Russia and take our part. Again, 6 million Jews in Russia. 6 million. This is in an article entitled Horrors Worse.
Who knows the first two laws that Hitler implemented? Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, first two laws that Hitler implemented that not only put him in a different status than everybody else for the rest of history, but also made what's called until this day the biggest financial miracle in history. Who knows the first two laws? Before the Nuremberg Laws. Before that, we're talking about years before it. Hitler first comes into power. What's the first two laws? Okay, I'll save you the time. Rule number one. No more pornography. No more homosexuality. None of that garbage. Not allowed. Berlin, in the 30s, in the 20s, was the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. They were the Las Vegas of the day. They were the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. Homosexuality, pornography, all the bestiality, all the garbage of the world, that was the capital of the world. He outlawed it, you're no longer allowed, closed all the bars, all the gay clubs, all the production, which were all run by Jewish people. unfortunately. Second rule. What's the second rule? Second rule was, you're not allowed to charge interest. No more interest. Now you would think, why? What does he care about interest? Well, because all the people that had the money, that lent the money out, were Jews. He didn't like it. He said no more interest. Why? Because of the high interest that the Jews charged people was so high, it ruined, it destroyed the economy in Germany. They destroyed, just like they destroyed Russia a few years before that through their communism over there. Jews destroyed Russia, not Goy. Jews destroyed. Communism is by Jews. Well, don't let anybody confuse you. You look at history, Karl Marx, all the other Rishayim, they're all Jews. Wicked, but nonetheless Jews. They destroyed Russia, and he wrote in chapter 2 of Mein Kampf, they destroyed Russia, now they wanted, they're destroying Germany, that's why I have to destroy them. Now, this doesn't make he's right, point is, that's actually real true history.
Wichtige Geschichte, wichtige Fakten. Die Klarheit der Dinge, welche wir nicht in der Schule gelernt haben. Wir haben es nicht im Lehrplan der Schule gelehrt bekommen, so wie es uns nicht beigebracht wurde. Auch nicht in der Hochschulbildung. Ich habe Geschichtslehrern Vorträge gehalten. Wirklich, warum war Hitler so gegen das jüdische Volk? Was wollte er von uns? Was hat ihn an das jüdische Volk so gestört? Aber die Dinge sind hier in Mein Kampf geschrieben. Dieses Buch wurde erst kürzlich auf Hebräisch veröffentlicht. Es war in all den vorgehenden Jahren verboten. Aber ich habe eine frühere Übersetzung, von der Yad Vashem Abschnitte übersetzt hatte. Hitler behauptet in seinem Buch, dass das jüdische Volk Kommunisten sind, dass sie die russische Revolution gemacht haben. Sie haben dort 30 Millionen Russen getötet, alle gebildeten Menschen in Russland, auf grausame und schreckliche Weise. Und das ist es, was sie der ganzen Welt antun wollen. Das nächste Land an der Reihe ist Deutschland. Sie gründeten die Kommunistische Partei und die Deutsche Sozialpartei, und das stimmt. Wenn wir sie jetzt nicht überwinden, werden sie uns zerstören und werden auch hier 20 Millionen Menschen töten und all die gebildeten Leute, und so werden sie von Land zu Land gehen. Und am Ende die einzige intelligenten Leute wird nur das jüdische Volk sein. Er wiederholte es viele Male, macht keine Fehler, anders zu denken. Und er hatte recht. Juden haben die russische Revolution durchgeführt. Wer baute die Rote Armee auf? Trotzki. Der war ein ungeheures Genie. Ein Hasser Israels, dem es an nichts mangelte. Er richtete die säkulare jüdische Abteilung ein. Der kommunistischen Partei. Verstehen Sie also, dass die Ereignisse des Holocaust nicht ohne Grund passiert sind? Sie waren kein Zufall. An Warnungen mangelte es nicht. Wegen unserer Sünden wurden wir aus unserem Land verbannt.
One of the things he's an expert in is the Holocaust and the history of the Jewish people. He's a real educated person. He has a lot of knowledge. He's Rosh Yeshiva. Okay. A video of 5 minutes came to me. I put it on my Facebook page. Why? Because it's an eye-opener. He was holding in his hand the book of Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, Mankind, translated to Hebrew. And he started to read from the book why Hitler hated Jews. You're not going to believe it. What is the main reason he hated the Jews and decided that they must die? Who knows what's the reason? No, you're very close. He wrote in his book, the Jews are the biggest threat. Why? Because they are communist. They are anti-God. They are the enemies of God. Well, the Jews that he knew, most of them, that's what they were. And he started to describe how they made the revolution in Russia. And he started to give proofs that the Jews are a big danger to Germany, Bolsheviks. They are the biggest threat to Germany. If we don't kill them now, they'll kill us all. They'll do to us what they did in Russia. That's what he wrote in his book. I never knew it until a few days ago. Not once in my life I heard it. Not in my school, not in articles. Did you ever hear such thing? He was reading it from his book. He's writing. So he say why he hated us. Why? Because we went away from Hashem. If we were all righteous and living according to the Torah and we wouldn't push our nose to become communist and anti-God, maybe it would not happen. Maybe yes, maybe not. That's only Hashem knows. But at least he declared in his main book what's the reason he hated the Jews so much.
Of age. At that time, my whole family is wiped out.
Yes, sir. Yes,
the Holocaust is big business because Germany so far has given the Jews, I think, at least $200 billion. So it's big business. And some of you are still getting $1,000 a month. And a lot of people don't know this. And then people don't realize who brought the slaves to America. They were Jewish ships.
As we heard, there are people in Sweden who support Israel and have a deep sense of the injustice of the present situation. It's these people who give hope to those who still believe that things will get better here. One of them is Barbara Spector, a former American who made Aliyah and then, 10 years ago, with the help of the government of Sweden, set up a non-denominational institute of Jewish learning with the Greek name of Paideia, here in Stockholm. She believes the current wave of anti-Semitism in Sweden will pass and that Jews have an important role to play in a country undergoing profound change.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Just briefly, there you are in Germany. Isn't the situation there indicative of the rest of the European continent, where we're actually seeing the EU expanding more and more? How do you now see the future of the issue of immigration developing now across the whole of the European continent, based on what you're seeing there in Germany?
This is a very good point, because immigration is the future. You cannot work and live in a globalized world, in the middle of the world, in Europe, without immigration and moving populations. So you have to really make a good policy of immigration all over Europe. And we see this, that the history of Europe, with this long history of nationalism and small countries, is now getting into a crisis. So this will need a long time to make it better. But you have to confront this. You have to really change the policy of immigration inside Europe. This is very important. You have to adapt the educational system and adapt all the self-understanding of the states. They are not anymore only white or only Swedish or only Portuguese or only German. They are multicultural places in the world.
Vous allez le payer très cher, les Européens. Mais à un point, vous n'avez même pas notion de quoi on parle. Et vous n'aurez pas où fuir. Parce que tout le mal que vous avez fait à Israël, vous le paierez au centuple. Quand l'Italie disparaîtra, quand Edom, c'est pour ça que le QG de la chrétienté qui vient de Essav se trouve là-bas, quand cet endroit-là disparaîtra, et c'est ce que veut faire l'islam, s'occupe. L'islam, c'est le balai d'Israël, sachez-le. Alors que beaucoup, au lieu qu'on fasse tout le travail, et on voit Ishmael se poser des problèmes. Quand il va débarrasser tout ça et que le va revenir chez nous, alors c'est Melech HaMashiach.
Ariel Ricker welcomes an asylum seeker to a legal consultation. The Hawaiian-born lawyer abandoned her practice a year ago to set up Advocates Abroad, a group that offers legal aid to those seeking international protection. Ricker herself took on Lesbos, ground zero in this great experiment, out of concern for American human rights standards.
America is a land of migrants, and there is an anger, I think, about how this election turned out. It showed us that we were not as secure in our decency, in our belief of human rights. And so now that it's clear that those things are under threat in our own country, I think we all feel a sense of, I must go find this human rights conviction in myself, and I must bring it to as many people who need it.
The asylum center at Moria Camp processes about 50 people a day, but many have waited for almost a year. About 1,500 refugees and migrants still arrive in Greece each month, but roughly twice that number is now being processed through asylum approvals, deportations, and relocation elsewhere in Europe.
Sometimes they realize who we are and they're just happy to see us and they hug us and kiss us, and it's very exciting.
We get lovely, warm, like warming reactions of hugs and, you know,
we protect them, feed them, clothe them, and comfort them. We are Israeli.
Israel is an political organization. What they do is help people in a disaster situation. And this is what I'm doing. And this is what they teach me at nursing school, to treat a human, no matter what he is, which religions he have, which color he is.
These people come and they automatically get this title. They are refugees fleeing to Europe. But at the end of the day, they're just humans, their families. They had honorable jobs, fulfilling life in the countries that they're coming from, and suddenly they come here and they're treated and looked as refugees when they're human beings as me and you.
Come back to Africa! Come back to Africa! We hate you as much as we can, mother. Come back to Africa! Come back to Africa!
They are really cool people.
Well, that's the thing. The Jewish connection to the refugee is not a conspiracy. That's something that we're very, very proud of. The organization that Robert Bowers was constantly calling out is an organization called HIAS, which brought people, including Sergey Brin, to this country. It started in the 1880s to bring Jews who were fleeing the pogroms of Eastern Europe. Now they help Jews and non-Jews all over the world fleeing persecution. I met a man in Arizona on Sunday, a Jew from Cairo, who was helped out of Egypt following the 1967 war. This synagogue exemplified those values. It participated in something called Refugee Shabbat the previous Saturday. It was one of the participating synagogues nationally. And the concept, you know, as in all Jewish synagogues that reflect the most sacred of Jewish values, is the value of Hachnasat Orchim, of welcoming the stranger, and especially of welcoming the weakest in our community, which there's no weaker category in our society than the refugee.
And also in Negev Commandment 59, that there's a mitzvah and a command to wipe out from among all the descendants of Esav, descendants of Amalek, male and female, young and old. What is Amalek? Says Hasidus, Amalek represents the concept of doubt. They put a doubt into everything that you want to do. That is why they're so evil. That is Amalek. And that is why Amalek is so terrible, and it has to be totally uprooted. Therefore, God tells us we should erase their memory, and we should eradicate them from the face of the earth. So when a Jew enters into Eretz, into the land of Israel, what should he do? The first thing, appoint a king. Step two, destroy Amalek. Who is Amalek? Amalek comes from Esav. Esav was a brother to Jacob.
Esav, who in modern day terms is really basically, certainly one of them is America. Esav became Edom, which is a nation. Edom became Rome. Instead of it being Rome, it became Christianity. Christianity, of course, ultimately became Western civilization. So Esav today is really Western civilization.
But the new Rome, the United States, but the new Rome.
Esav is Europe, the United States.
The throne of God is incomplete until we destroy Amalek.
Any nation that has that religion can be considered Esav.
The audacity, the chutzpah to destroy Amalek and to cut off the offsprings of the nation of Amalek. And Sofri goes on to say, how do we do this today?
What would be the most Jewish thing for the last Jew to do? The most appropriate, fitting thing.
One said that the last thing that a Jew should do when he or she leaves Europe is spit.
What you got to do, you got to keep a low profile. If you got a fancy car, don't show off with it in front of the goyim. You want to build a beautiful house, don't make it so fancy outside so the goyim, your neighbors are going to say, wow, look at those wealthy Jews. Keep it inside. Keep a low profile. And you know what he says? He says it's unbelievable. Esav hates us. That's what Rabbi Zitron was talking about. Esav hates us because they still are angry that Yaakov took the bracha. And he says, why is it that if a person has $100, he has to show off as if he's got 200? If he's got 1,000, he's got to show off that he's got 2,000. Rabbi said, let's keep a low profile. Don't tell the people at work, especially if they're not Jewish, about all your nachas. They don't have nachas like we have. They don't have a Friday night meal like we have. They don't have wonderful children that are giving them nachas like we have. Don't talk about your kids. Don't spread out all these chats if there are people there that don't have what you have, especially if they're not Jewish. It's hurting them. Keep a low profile.
In Germany, the Jews wouldn't push their nose into society, judges, lawyers, this, everywhere, control, politics, money, success. It drives them crazy. Jews should have taken the advice of Yaakov Avinu. He said to his sons, they're all handsome, nice, righteous, and wealthy. Do not come in one door when you go to buy food. Why? What's the problem, father? Why? They're going to see all of you full of cash. You all dress well. You're coming in one door. All one family of Jews. They'll go crazy. It drives them crazy. You go from here. You go from there. Don't come in the same time. Don't make too much show off. Not to talk about build mansions and drive fanciest car and 10 carats diamonds in every finger and all these things that drives them even more crazy. Now, as long as the goyim has plenty of money, they can take mortgage with 4%, they can live like they're rich. No, it doesn't kill them so much. The problem begins when the interest rate goes up and they cannot pay the bills and they lose their homes and they hear that by Jews, business as usual, another 300 million deal, another half a billion deal, and it drives them crazy, and they hear it on the news, and from here until going to break graves and burn synagogues, I don't have to tell you how quick it can happen.
Communist plan for the conquest of the United States was explained to the American comrades by Moscow's agent, Joseph Pogani. Pogani was sent to this country by Stalin for the specific purpose of laying the groundwork for the agitation that would eventually develop into a Negro revolutionary movement. American Negro Problems was published in 1928 by Joseph Pogani using the alias John Pepper and carried the official communist line for America.
The Workers' Communist Party of America, in its fight against imperialism, must recognize clearly tremendous revolutionary possibilities of the liberation movement of the Negro people. The Black Belt of the South with its starving and pauperized Negro farmers and Negro agricultural working masses, with its Jim Crowism, its semi-feudal status, and its political system still bearing the earmarks of the period of slavery, constitutes virtually a colony within the body of the United States of America. The Workers' Communist Party of America puts forward correctly as its central slogan, abolition of the whole system of race discrimination, full racial, social, and political equality for the Negro people. But it is necessary to supplement the struggle for the full racial, social, and political equality of the Negroes with a struggle for their right of national self-determination. Self-determination means the right to establish their own state, to erect their own government if they choose to do so. The Negro communists should emphasize in their propaganda the establishment of a Negro Soviet Republic.
In these whiskey stores that get you drunk. It is Jews that run these old rundown stores that sell you bad food. It is Jews who control the economy of power and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel. And got dumb enough to walk around here joining some NAACP or CORE and think we're going to be blind to what they're doing to us. Oh, someone better pull their coat. Someone better pull their coat before you start pulling some heads. That's not anti-Semitic, that's just plain intelligent. You know, I was on a program here in New York on Channel 13, in which I made a statement concerning how the Jews control about 80% of the economy in most Negro communities across the country. And the Jews organized themselves and wouldn't let this thing come back on Channel 13. Two interviews. One was done by Baldwin and one was done by me. I did two. One was short and one was a 30-minute duration. And at the end of it, you remember Morgenthau jumped up and said that he's not responsible for anything I said. Well, I can understand why he said that, because during that same week, the same old so-called liberal Jews who claim they believe in free speech and all that old kind of stuff, they got together and prevented the showing of that interview again, simply because I had made the statement on that the Jews are the ones who are robbing us and exploiting us up here in Harlem and across the country. Jews believe in censorship more than anybody else. All you got to do is start talking about Jews, and you'll find all the papers will close up on you.
6 million of the Holocaust.
Are you saying the Holocaust is a joke?
It's a joke.
That's right.
I feel like I'm watching Black Panther too.
Talking about, like, Jews, right? Like, we're really proudly Jewish family. Anti-Semitism is kind of the linchpin of white supremacy, because the Jew appears to be white, but in fact, he's not white. I mean, this is all based on this lie that race is not a social, that race is not a construct, right? Which it is.
We're really proudly Jewish family. We're really proudly Jewish family. This lie that race is not a social, that race is not a construct, right? Which it is.
Look, to be totally honest, if things are so bad as you say with the white working class, don't you want to get new Americans in who aren't going to be? I'm serious. You can make a case that this is going on too long and this is too crazy, probably, and I hope this thing isn't being, like, you know, videotaped or ever shown anywhere. Whatever tiny, pathetic future I have is going to be totally collapsed. You can make a case that America has been great because every I think John Adams said this at the beginning, right? Basically, if you're in a free society, a capitalist thriving society, after 2, 3, 4 generations of hard work, everyone becomes kind of decadent, lazy, spoiled, whatever. And then luckily, you have these waves of people coming in from Italy and Ireland and Russia and now Mexico who really want to work hard and really want to succeed and really want their kids to live better lives than them and aren't sort of clipping coupons or hoping that they can hang on. And meanwhile, you know, we grew up as spoiled kids and so forth. So in that respect, I don't know why this moment is that different from the early 20th century or the mid-19th century.
Somebody else a chance to ask a question at this point.
Don't you want to rebut me briefly, though? You want to say,
yeah. No.
Okay, next. That's enough. I'll be quiet.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. If you abolish slavery, you abolish slaveholders. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. I could not point to any examples where it has provoked political censorship. Whiteness is an identity that arises entirely out of oppression. Whiteness is not a culture. It's not a religion. It's not a language. It's simply an oppressive social category. Blackness is an identity that can be plausibly argued. Black studies is the study of a people that has formed itself in resistance to its oppression. The task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.
The recent Pittsburgh massacre was the most deadly attack targeting Jews in North American history. Many have noted the rise in anti-Semitism over the last few years. How are we to understand this development?
As with almost any historical development, there are usually a number of causes for any particular development or process that we see unfolding before our eyes. And yet, one can and one should point out specific causes for such developments. Here I wish to discuss one particular aspect of this issue, and that is the belief on the part of many white people of European descent, both in North America and in Europe, as well as in other countries such as Australia. The belief of people of European stock that their nations, their countries, and their cultures, their civilizations are essentially on the chopping block, that their way of life, their values, the societal norms and systems to which they are used and to which under which they wish to live and that they wish to hand down to their children and grandchildren, they believe, and I would agree with them, they believe that their way of life, their identity as people of European stock and people of European descent, and therefore the inheritors of European Western civilization and society, they believe all this is in peril. The reason so many people of this background feel this way is, of course, a direct result of the mass and entirely irresponsible immigration policies of many countries, particularly European countries, as we know, particularly from 2015 onwards. Europe has been inundated with third world immigrants. But in fact, this process has been going on for many decades. It began in the UK in the 60s. It began in Australia in the early 70s. Till that time, Australia had what was known as the White Australia policy, whereby immigration was limited to people of European background. This policy was very foolishly abandoned in the early 70s, a decision taken by then Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. And this has also been the case in North America for many years now. In Europe in particular, this has accelerated and become a truly enormous crisis for those who wish to see European nations remain exactly what they are, European nations. That is to say, the homelands and the societies for European peoples who wish to remain European, who identify as European, who wish to maintain their cultural heritage, etc. They feel threatened. And again, I reiterate, they are correct to feel so. They are absolutely 100% correct, in my view. I think it is a massive crime on the part, I would say even a treasonous act on the part of many politicians in the West for allowing and facilitating such uncontrolled and massive immigration of third world immigrants into these countries. It is also a massive historical act of folly. As a result of this apprehension, many people of European background are looking for those who are responsible, wish to blame, find the people they can blame and attack for what has been going on over, in some cases for decades, in other cases more particularly over the last few years. And it is true, unfortunately, and I think this needs to be frankly admitted by Jews all over the world, that there are, without doubt, Jews involved in those movements and those organizations, very often NGOs, etc., who promote this phenomenon of third world immigration into the Western countries. And the conclusion of these Europeans and Americans is that the Jews are behind this policy, that this is some kind of Jewish conspiracy to water down white American or white European societies, or to inflict irreparable damage on these societies. In some cases, I've seen claims made by such people that the Jews are doing this deliberately as an act of revenge against the European nations who discriminated against the Jews for not just for centuries, but actually one could say for millennia, in response to pogroms and massacres and inquisitions, etc., against the Jewish people throughout history, that the Jews are now taking their revenge.
There's this inextricable tie between culture, religion, ethnicity that most people don't fully understand, that is unique and, strong with Jews worldwide. I used to say, early on when I was a kid, I'd say, when I was a young senator, I'd say, if I were a Jew, I'd be a Zionist. I am a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
People say Jews are too powerful. We're too strong. We're too rich. We control the media. We have too much this. We have too much that. And we often apologetically deny our strength and our power. Don't do that. Don't do that. We have earned the right to influence public debate. We have earned the right to be heard. We have contributed disproportionately to the success of this country. Never, ever apologize.
For as long as I live, for as long as I have the privilege of serving in the Senate from New York, I will unflinchingly, unstintingly,
and with all of my strength, all of my strength, be Shomer Yisrael, a guardian of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Yisroel Chai.
I have said to people when they ask me if this Capitol crumbles to the ground, the one thing that would remain is our commitment to our aid. And I don't even call it aid, our cooperation with Israel. That's fundamental to who we, fundamental.
Jewish Democrats were instrumental in Democrats winning control of the House, Senate, and the White House in 2020 in the midst of COVID. With JDCA leading the way, Jewish voters will be our path to victory again this November. The stakes could not be higher. Every value and freedom we cherish as progressives and patriotic Americans is at stake in this election.
Now, I know what they do because I used to ask them to do it. I mean, when I was in the Mossad, and we had a guy that gave us problems in the U.S., and he was speaking out, and he was talking like Pete talked once and said, Israel is bombing Lebanon with cluster bombs. We say, hey, who's that guy? You know? Pete McCarthy, we used to call him. Yeah. Which is Pete the Cockroach. Because he makes a lot of noise and you can't get rid of him. So what you do is you get in touch with a guy in the station in New York or in the station in Washington. And you say, tell the guys at Napier to label them. And of course the campaign starts and before you know it, the guy's labeling. And he's an anti-Semite. Because that's what we say he is. And that's one stain you cannot wash.
It is well known nowadays that what happens on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube has great influence on events as they occur on the ground. The internet, too, is a battleground. It is thus comforting to learn that the IDF employs soldiers whose job titles are new to the military world. The IDF now has soldiers who tweet, share, like, and more.
I just wrote a tweet about how many suspected terrorists were arrested in the West Bank last night. About every day we update the Twitter first thing in the morning how many were arrested, and I just wrote a tweet about it.
And Darren James was head of the Paris branch and the youngest of the five sons of R.L. Rothschild, gave an astonishingly uninhibited description of the 19th century Rothschild policy of keeping it in the family. I'll quote to you from what he wrote and make you smile. In our family, we've always tried to keep love in the family. In this sense, it was more or less understood since childhood that children would never think of marrying outside the family, so that our fortune would never leave it. You couldn't write that today.
Have some of the world's best anti-discrimination laws in this state if it were not for the Jewish community. We would not have some of the best anti-vilification laws in our country and indeed the world if not for the leadership of the Jewish community. And the list goes on and on.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews.
But I'll tell you one thing. Unlike America, Israel seems to be able to fight wars very quickly. What is your secret? Because we don't seem to have the hang of that.
The secret is that we have America. We have America. America.
I saw one news pundit screaming about Kanye. She said, mental health is no excuse for that type of language. Yes, it is, bitch. You kill somebody if you're mentally ill. Listen, okay. I don't think Kanye is crazy at all. I think he's possibly not well. Well, I've been to Hollywood. Don't want y'all to get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I've been to Hollywood. This is just what I saw. It's a lot of juice. Like a lot.
My first question, Kanye West this week has said, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Will Israel retaliate?
Like, I want to help him.
Is there anybody that you wouldn't speak to?
Well, Mel Gibson and I aren't exactly going to have, you know, coffee at any time soon.
Y'all are proving somebody like Kanye, right? Because Kanye says, hey, Jewish people have all the power, and then he loses everything.
Well, look, the insidious nature of anti-Semitism and these tropes about power is Kanye can say these things. Jews have all the power, they're controlling everything. And if we don't get him, you know, if we don't deal with that, the myth spreads and it takes root.
I have a question for you, and this is going to be a hard one. I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
I hate anti-Semitism. I hate everything that's going on here.
Yeah.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. And I love when you're out there talking about these things.
Yeah.
But what I don't like, I'll be honest with you, I think there are people who look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
Where you criticize and you say, I'm going to hammer you.
Yeah.
I'm going to hammer you, hammer you, hammer you until you give me money. That's what people think. I'm just saying,
I hear you.
They look and they say, you go after Adidas and you keep going after Adidas, not until they shut up or until they do what you want.
Yeah.
Until they actually start contributing to ADL. What do you say to those people?
It's totally wrong. I wish more of the people I criticize donated to us. The reality is it's my job to cast a light on anti-Semitism and all forms of hate. What I'm encouraged is when some companies or some individuals say we're not only going to apologize, we actually want to engage and solve this problem. I just think it's not just a Jewish concept of tshuva or the Christian ethos, you know, of loving thy neighbor. It's all of our ethos to try to work together to make society better. But look, man, if everybody who committed anti-Semitism came around and supported ADL, I would be a much, much wealthier. The organization would be much richer. We'd all be much better off.
Hey, Kanye West. Hey, listen up. Listen up, you bro. I'm from Israel. I don't afraid from you, okay? If you want once more blame us Jews at anything wrong, I come into your house and bang bang you, okay? Don't fuck around with us, okay? I'm not a nice Jew. I can be, as you said, fire to fire. And I will fire you off, like we fired the Nazis. Don't be a Nazi, you Nazi nigger shit.
The New York Times Magazine of Sunday, July 3, carried an article by Maureen Cleave in which she quotes the Beatles, not by name, as saying, show business is an extension of the Jewish religion. Would you mind amplifying that?
I said that to her as well. No comment.
Oh, come on, John. Tell me what you mean.
I mean, you can read into it what you like, you know. It's just a little old statement.
That within the system?
And not according to the Constitution that was written.
Right. What is it that troubles you the most? What's motivating you with regard?
The people that are breaking all the laws. The people in office. The people in office that are ruining it. They're following the rules that our forefathers put down for us. Yeah. No. I'd like to know, Jim keeps speaking of the international bankers, and I'd like to know exactly who and what they are.
Well, who do you think they are?
I know who they are. I just...
What do you think?
They're a bunch of rich Jews, and they're a bunch of rich Jew bankers.
People that are in charge of the entire world, and these people are not what they say that they are. These people are the high, high, high power, the elites that run the world. They claim to be Jews, and I'm just going to say that they are not what they claim. Their God is not the same God as you and I, and they want you to think it is. I very, very much encourage you to look deep into this because you will find the truth, and it's a very evil truth. When I say that they are in control of everything, this bag of M&Ms, if you just look at right here, this U with a circle, every single dollar that we spend goes to these elites. Look it up. We think that we're free, but we're not. We're free-range chickens. We're human cattle for them to make money off of. Let me get into the money aspect.
I'm sure I'm going to piss off both left and right, so I apologize. That the fetish for manufacturing is part of the general fetish for keeping white males of low education outside the cities in the powerful positions they're in the U.S. And that is really what's going on here.
In the adult industry, there's a lot of them. It was pretty much founded by the adult industry, or I'm sorry, the adult industry was pretty much founded by the Jews. Basically, in the early 1900s, the German Jewish immigrants came in. They gravitated towards the porn industry because it's like kind of seedier cousin of the Hollywood industry, which had already been controlled by the Jews.
Universal founder Carl Lemke came from a small town in Germany. Louis V. Mayer, who gave us the glory years of the MGM studio, was born in a Russian Jewish village. William Fox and Paramount's Adolf Zucker were both born in Hungary. Fox's studio merged with 20th Century Pictures to form 20th Century Fox.
They gravitated towards the porn industry because it's like kind of the seedier cousin of the Hollywood industry, which had already been controlled by the Jews. So basically back in, you know, the 1960s, 70s, it was founded by people like Danny Mamet and Danny Skura. And then later in the 80s, you know, the godfather of the modern day porn industry, his name is Reuben Sturman, who was actually an Orthodox Jew. He owned over 200 bookstores all around the country. He's actually my godfather.
According to the U.S. Department of Justice, throughout the 1970s, Sturman controlled most of the pornography circulating in the country.
So back in the 80s, the only way you could get pornography was to go through someone like Reuben Sturman, and he controlled, you know, all of his stores and all the stores that that he didn't own. They had, actually had to pay him a tax to carry his product, and he was the only place that you could get product from, peep shows from. And later, what the Jews did was they created the manufacturing side, which is the replication, the printing, because back in the day, if you wanted to make a VHS or a beta tape or whatever, you couldn't go down to Kinko's or any mainstream printer and be like, I want to print, you know, Gang Bang My Mom number 3. So what they did was they created all of these companies that manufactured DVDs and VHS and beta and printing, and all the companies pretty much had to go through the Jews. Back in the 70s, the majority of the male porn performers were Jewish, and the majority of the female performers were Roman Catholic. It's kind of funny because those guys came into the industry, and I actually asked a couple of them, because I asked Ron Jeremy, and I was like, why did you guys, you know, decided to go into the porn industry? Like, what was it that drew you, besides the obvious? But like, I got to fuck Roman Catholic chicks. The business side is still controlled by Jews. You have Steve Hirsch, who runs Vivid. You have Steve Orenstein, who runs Wicked, but chicks. Steve, who runs the biggest porn company in the world. All the business owners are pretty much Jewish, or have Jewish ties, or at some point worked for a Jew.
John Stagliano, who owns Evil Angel Studio. Phil Harvey of the Adam and Eve conglomerate. Winston Wolfe of XRCO Pornography. David Freeman, founder of the Adult Film Association of America. Gary Creeman of Sex.com. William Margold of the misleadingly named Free Speech Coalition, as well as the X-Rated Critics Organization and fans of X-Rated Entertainment.
Jews in the adult industry, there's a lot of them.
Seth Warshavsky is credited with being the pioneer of the internet pornography industry. The publisher of Screw magazine, Al Goldstein, eagerly described his motivations for being in porn, and I quote, "The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks. Catholicism sucks. We don't believe in authoritarianism. Pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture, and as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream, becomes more charged."
Jews in the adult industry, there's a lot of them.
In a respected and scholarly magazine of Jewish intellectuals, the Jewish Quarterly, Jewish professor Nathan Abrams, in an article titled "Triple X-Nix," boasts of their dominant role in pornography. Quote, "There's no getting away from the fact that secular Jews played and still continue to play a disproportionate role throughout the adult film industry in America. Jewish involvement in pornography has a long history in the United States, as Jews have helped transform a fringe subculture into what has become a primary constituent of Americana. These are the true blue Jews. Jewish activity in the porn industry divides into two sometimes overlapping groups, pornographers and performers. Though Jews make up only 2% of the American population, they have been prominent in pornography. Jewish involvement in porn, by this argument, is the result of an atavistic hatred of Christian authority. They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. Astor remembers having to run or fight for it in grammar school because I was a Jew. It could very well be that part of my porn career was an up years to these people."
All the business owners are pretty much Jewish or have Jewish ties or at some point worked for a Jew.
All the business owners are pretty much Jewish.
Yay!
Yay!
What has been kind of hidden is the gay casting couch. You know, the day I arrived in Hollywood, they told me when I was offered the job at Warner Brothers that you need to know this town is run by a homosexual and Jewish mafia. And I believe.
Oh my gosh! Don't say that. We got to wrap it up. No, be careful what you say on InfoWars. Even here, we don't want them coming after us. Sure. Thank you, Luke.
There's six sexes, genders in the town, but with many mentions. Let's get into what they are. There's the Kava and the Carla, do you hear as female and male, druggy nose for an intersex person with both female and sex characteristics. Due to a person with obscured or unclear sexual characteristics, he'll need someone assigned female at birth, but who expresses male characteristics later in life. Sorry, someone assigned male at birth, but develops female characteristics later in life and or has their sexual organs removed. Sorry, and Eloni often are described as infertile. And while life has lots of rules, don't let binaries be a hurdle to loving yourself.
The healing begins. This is what, because the Jewish community and the black community, we should be together. Jews and blacks should we shouldn't fight, but there shouldn't be tension. Jews and blacks should get together and get whitey. I think.
Jewish. Jewish people pronounce my name Ariel. But my dad is Spanish, and Spanish people say it Ariel. But I grew up in Kentucky. And they say it Earl. So when I was in high school, my parents sat me down and they were like, hey, we know you're gonna start dating soon. And we just wanna let you know that whatever you're into, boys, girls, anything in between, doesn't matter to us. As long as they're Jewish. As long as they're Jewish. We live in
BTS in conjunction with My Israel has arranged an instruction day for wiki editors. The goal of the day is to teach people how to edit in Wikipedia, which is the number one source of information today in the world. As a way of example, if someone searches the Gaza flotilla, we want to be there. We want to be the guys who influence what is written there, how it's written, and to ensure that it's balanced and Zionist in nature.
I came here to learn more about how we as Israelis and as Jews can defend Israel online, on the internet, and particularly in Wikipedia in this case. Wikipedia is a bit of a complex system and it's sometimes hard to figure out the rules. I've personally tried to edit things in Wikipedia that were against Israel, small things, and my changes were erased or undone, and I didn't understand why. And I think that this kind of knowledge is important for anyone who wants to be active in defending Israel on the internet.
Don't let the war of words ever be fought about Israel's nature. Let it be fought about why you can't accept Israel, why you have to single out this tiny people. Try to find Israel on the map. It's hardly there. You know, we used to play this game, where's Waldo? You know, there's, where is Waldo on the map? Are you going to really tell me that this is the country you want to blame? Push them. Teach them how to defend by attacking. Teach them really what one says as in fencing. You've got to do that. You've got to make demands on them. They've got to serve for 3 years in the army of words.
Someone tweeted at me, why are Jews so weak and bad at sports? Now, does this guy actually believe it? I doubt it. He just thought it would get me angry. But what it actually was a fastball down the middle. And so I just excerpted his tweet and said, well, of course Jews don't really participate in athletics. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power.
If the alt-right is a response, in my opinion, to two things. It's a response to the left, and it's a response to the neocons. What they're basically saying is that the fucking left hates white people, and the neocons are run by fucking Jews who only care about Israel. Now, maybe those are kind of blanket things to say that aren't 100% of the time true. There's definitely a lot of truth to both of them. And if you have the left who's lecturing white people about, the left just, so many of the social justice woke left people hate white people. It's so obvious. They fucking hate white people. And their message is basically the following. It goes, we're playing identity politics. I want to see more people of color in positions of power. I want to see more women in positions of power. So in other words, everyone except white men, I want to see in more positions of power. And it is a horrible, horrible thing to be a minority. Even when a society has written laws and done all these things to make it better for minorities, it's a horrible thing to be a minority. And we fucking hate white people. And by the way, white people are going to be a minority in a few years in this country. That is their message. I'm really not adding much to it. Can you understand where there might be a movement of white people who aren't looking forward to being a minority? When people are literally telling them, we hate you, and it's horrible to be a minority? Do you get where it comes from? I'm just saying, do you see what's happening here? I mean, do you see what the grievance is? Do you want to try? If you're not going to address what the grievances are, how do you even, have this conversation? It's like, do you think that the left, the left who talk about the browning of America and the evils of white men, do you think when white people become a minority in this country, they're going to go, okay, we're even. Water under the bridge, we don't hate white people anymore. Or do you think they're going to go, now's the time to really put the boot on the fucking neck? I'd understand being concerned. I'd understand being concerned about it. And then you have, it's like, oh, they really don't like Jews. And then you're like, well, I wonder why. Well, here you have an Orthodox Jew bragging about how Jews completely dominate Donald Trump's foreign policy. And he's not wrong about it. And that's the problem.
Hi, how you doing today?
How are you?
Good, how about you? I can sound my bad. My name's Josh. And so, you said yourself that powerful institutions are at play here, and there's a coordinated effort to spread this parasitic ideology. So, I have a question for you. Are you willing to name the group behind this? Because behind all these institutions, there seems to be a Cohen, a Berg, a Stein. So I have a question for you. What are your thoughts on the Jewish influence about on gender ideology?
Am I going to do anything about the Jews is what you're asking me?
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real. And that's very upsetting to people.
Welcome back to the world's most popular game show. Okay, folks. You know how this goes. Let's put 2 minutes on the clock, top 15 answers on the board. Why does everyone hate the Jews? Yes, Mel.
Because they're cheap.
50 points. Joyce.
Oh, Bill, I know this one. Because they control the media.
Show me they control the media.
How about because they killed Jesus?
I'd say killing a Messiah is a pretty Jewy thing to do. Lightning round, double the money.
Because they start all the wars in the world.
Because they control the world's financial institutions, leading all non-Jews to inevitable financial ruin while benefiting only themselves.
Because they used to kill Christian children and use their blood to bake their weird Passover bread.
Because, you know.
Because they run Hollywood.
Because, can they get over this Holocaust thing already?
Yeah. Move on, Jews!
Because they're rapists.
Ponzi schemers.
Globalists.
Because they're Jews.
Oh! Joyce wins big money tonight, folks. Congratulations, Joyce. A game well played.